It's 4th of July in America, and I guess everywhere else in the world. How are you today, Jimmy?
Hey, what a day. 4th of July. Check this day out. Here's my day from the start. Got up early. We had 18 holes. We had an early tee off time for 18 holes. Came back, picked up your mom, went to a friend's wedding reception, came back, went for a hike. Not my usual hike, but I got a good one in. Mm-hmm. I got a good sweat.
Good sweat.
Came back, got cleaned up a little bit, went in Connor's kitchen and prepped the food for our 4th of July barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little break. Cook the food.
Let the food marinate. Marinate.
That's, I forgot that one. Yeah, marinate. So I prepped it. I cooked it. We ate the food. Took a 20-minute rest.
Did the dishes.
How can you forget about
that? Don't forget that. I mean, that's our favorite part.
That's the one thing I left out. Oh, my God. Now I took a 20-minute rest, and now I'm here
and doing
a podcast. So it's good on the 4th of July. It's good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. Got to make time for Advantage Connors. It's the middle Sunday at Wimbledon. Before we get into that, you've been traveling. Tell me about what's up. You were on the East Coast visiting someone.
Yeah, I got it's my first trip since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Flew down to Florida to see her sister Aubrey and spend a little time with her, and it was fun to get away for a week and traveled safely, and got back to I've been back for a week, but to spend time down there, Aubrey and her husband Casey have just moved into a new home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of exciting. Got to see their new place. Spent a little time with my friend David Schneider down there and figured out, how to get my 60-degree wedge a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of days playing golf. Hit a few tennis balls.
Yeah.
But it's summertime down there, so it's not the season. So I thought it would be maybe not so crowded. But with all the people moving out of New York and the East, maybe even California also going down to Florida, it was packed. So
mm-hmm.
Had a good stay, had some good food, spent some time with my friend Eric Silver at the Boca Resort, and got back and now back at home,
back
Santa
into the
Barbara.
Routine.
Yeah, same thing. It's
nice.
All good.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, you think maybe it wouldn't be so busy, but I think golf is kind of one of the most popular things to do during COVID, and I don't think that's slowing down.
No, it's interesting. Every place I go, whether it's here in Santa Barbara or when I was down in Florida, golf is blowing up. People are getting out, they're playing, they're running around and enjoying being out in the fresh air and playing with their buddies and doing all that. So it's a I'm glad to see that the golf is doing so well, and hopefully, I hate to say, I go by high schools and grade schools and public parks, and I see a lot of tennis courts that are vacant. I wish tennis would catch on like golf has over the past year or two.
Yeah, it seems pickleball has kind of taken over a little bit for tennis. I see a lot of places are taking out tennis courts and putting in pickleball because you can put in multiple courts and I guess more people play pickleball. And it's like a good way to get into tennis. But then, are they still playing the tennis too, you wonder?
Well, down in Florida, California used to be the place for tennis. That's why I came out here when I was 15 years old, and because it was the hot spot for tennis. Now Florida is.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of camps and
closer to Europe.
Yeah,
and
the advantage to play down there, they have slower courts. And so really kids learn more than just a one style of game, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
California used to be a fast court game. And now Florida, with the way the courts are now, and most of the courts and the way they play are almost all the same. So it's a good breeding ground for some good talent.
Yeah, definitely. So good to have you back. Just it was fun playing golf today. You kicked my butt out there. It wasn't fun. It wasn't one of the wide open courses that I like intend to do better on. It was a little narrow, shorter, super narrow, super fast green. So that wasn't fun. All right, middle Sunday. I guess it's the last year that they're not going to play on the middle Sunday. I remember being with you in 1991.
Yeah, right.
And you were doing the TV for NBC, and they had hired me, quote unquote, as a runner. And my job was essentially to bring you and Dick Enberg turkey sandwiches for the fortnight.
Yeah, but you got to hang and watch some tennis with us. And
I had access to everything. Stay. Yeah, it was great. And you didn't really have to start doing a lot of your commentating responsibilities till you lost in the tournament. So I think NBC was like, oh, yeah, you know, he's focused on his tennis. He'll, you know, play a round or two. He's had coming off that wrist injury, you know. We'll get him for the last 13 days, 12 days of the tournament or something, you know. But it rains most of the first week. Remember?
Right. How can you forget? That's why I played on middle Sunday.
Yeah. And then you win your first two rounds. You actually beat Krickstein in the second round.
Right.
Which is a, you know, foreshadow of what happened later in the year at the U.S. Open. And because of the rain, everything got pushed back. You didn't end up, you played your third round match on the middle Sunday.
Right, right.
Which was like one of the first times, maybe first time I think it ever had happened up till that point. So interesting to think this might be the last year of that tradition.
Yeah, it was, to be honest with you, son, it was pretty exciting. To walk out there and first of all, I mean, the crowd, it was a different crowd than normally would come into the championships, and you know, to listen to them, you know, chanting my name before I walked out there, and then as I walked out, you know, the reception that both of us, my opponent and myself received, but they were doing the wave on the center court.
Yeah,
you know, does that ever happen at Wimbledon? Come on now, yeah. You know, but I did look up, and you know, this was, you know, a little bit distracting. There wasn't anybody in the royal box.
Oh,
I was shocked.
How were you able to focus?
It was really an experience, and I was working for NBC at the time, and in 90 I was out with my wrist injury, so I had an opportunity to do some work with Dick Enberg and at Wimbledon and the French. And really learned a lot from him and commentary and how to handle and work matches and not only one match, but two, three, and four matches at a time. And I know he has passed, but I would have to say that his tutelage of me over the course of those couple of years was really something that I'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, I mean, I was young, I was 11 or something, but I do remember a good amount of that and just remember thinking how cool Dick Enberg was.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting.
How professional he was.
Beyond. He came from, I think, the basketball and went right over into the tennis. And his mind, I mean, how to clear all the basketball players and the teams and everything, get rid of, you know, throw their names out of his mind that he was so into over such a period of time, and else to know everything about every player and
different countries,
from every country, and their coach and their parents and everything.
Yeah.
He was professional is the right word, and a gentleman.
Yeah, he was really cool, and bumped into him a few times after that as I got older, and he was always really nice and really, really cool to talk to. Ended up doing, I think, a lot of baseball in San Diego.
He did.
For the pods.
Right. Yes, so he did.
He kind of did everything. He did Olympics. I mean, I think, you know, he did it all. So that was fun. Let's talk about this year. Let's get into this tournament. What have you been noticing? What do you like? We're into the everyone plays tomorrow. It's maybe one of the most exciting days of the year in tennis because they skip the day. Then that means everyone has to play tomorrow. You know, we're into the fourth round. Djokovic has looked pretty good. He's kind of had his section of the draw, a lot of the seeds and potential quote-unquote threats have seemed to have been clay quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Monfils was in there, and like he plays Garin next, and I can't remember who else was in there, but somebody that was a clay quarter, and just, he's looked so good anyway, but he's up there, and then this is the thing I wanted to get your take on. Sebastian Korda, American kid.
Yeah.
Had never really played any grass up until like 10 days ago. He won a couple rounds, I think, in Halle. He looked pretty good. And then he's had some pretty big wins. He plays Khachanov in the next round. And I feel like that's a pretty winnable match. What do you think about a name? His father was a player.
Right.
Yeah. You know, won the Australian Open. He beat Dan Evans in the last round.
He's got nothing to lose. He's young. When you come up and that can work for you and against you. you can either let it overwhelm you and go out there and think, you know, how great it is just to be there, and so it overwhelms you, and then you don't perform the way you'd like to, or you can just, you know, get out there and just let her rip.
Let her rip.
And, yeah. And you know, when you're young like that, you know, what do you have to lose? I mean, you're making your reputation now, and you're trying to, you know, get on the board with the big boys. And if he can, you know, continue and, you know, Khachanov is he's no slouch either, but
I feel like that's a winnable match for him.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it, really, there's only one guy that shouldn't be a winnable match for him. And that's Djokovic.
Mm-hmm. In that section. I mean, you know, like he wins that, he gets the winner of Schappi and Batista Agut. And I mean, you know, he's probably the dog to either of those guys, but I don't think it's
anything can happen.
I don't think it's much more than a coin flip, you know, maybe even like 60-40 or something.
But. Yeah, he comes from a good breed family. Mm-hmm. His dad was.
You're saying that? Are you kidding? Did you see his sister?
His sister, both his sisters.
Yeah, when she went back to back, Nelly, right?
Are champion golfers. Yeah. And you know, so his dad played tennis. He plays tennis. His sisters are great golfers. I know his mom was an athlete also. So, you know, he should have that attitude. To go in and know what it's like to play matches, you know, where, you know, maybe he is not expected to go, but to understand what it means to have the opportunity like this, you know, to strike while the iron's hot, and maybe his iron is hot right now. Every round that he wins now, he should be gaining confidence and experience, and not only for Wimbledon now, but for down the road. So if he goes about it the right way, he could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, and there's other guys like Fritz and Tiafoe, you know, and, you know, Sandgren and other guys who are young, but they've seemed to maybe not hit a wall, but I don't know if you see maybe the same potential as now you see with Korda, because Korda's a few years younger. He's pretty big. You know, he's got a solid serve. He's pretty good off both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely room for improvement, obviously. But anyone who's, you know, 19 or whatever years old he is going to be, you know, able to improve. But it's kind of neat just because if, you know, if he can win another match or even if he just keeps it up over the summer in the hard court season, it's nice to have somebody for Americans to, you know, another guy to, you know, throw the name
fresh.
In the hat. Yeah.
Somebody fresh to come up and have somebody new to root for.
Right.
You know, we've spent time with the other guys and know, you know, what they have to offer and their potential, their limitations or whatever, you know, but to have somebody fresh come up now and not really know, what his limitations are. Maybe he has none. You know, maybe he has the kind of game that can, you know, catapult
go all the way.
Yeah. And you know, why not Wimbledon? Why not? You got to start someplace.
Yeah.
You know, so you might as well make a splash. And, you know, certainly Wimbledon is a great place to do that.
Yep. Well, he definitely can win his next two matches. And then that would get him potentially, let's say, Djokovic in the semis. And, I mean, you take that and everything's been gravy for a while at that point, you know.
it would be gravy. But if he's gotten that far, certainly he shouldn't be satisfied.
No.
Yeah, and if he does get that far, you know, sure, Joker would have to think, you know, the kid's playing some pretty good tennis. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to be able to feel like he can just coast through a match like that. You know, it's the semifinals of a major championship. You can't, you know, feel you can coast through at any time. Mm-hmm. And especially somebody young. And you know, go back and, you know, when you're 19, 20 years old, oh, my God. I mean, you know, can you imagine the, you know, what an opportunity to play the best player in the world, possibly the guy that has the best chance to win the Grand Slam, you know, which is, you know, he's won Australia, Djokovic, I'm talking about now. He's won the French. He's the favorite to win here.
He's minus 200.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big favorite.
Sure. Yeah. You know, this early.
Just in the fourth round.
So he's got that. So to, you know, to make a splash and to make an entrance to even have a possibility of meeting him, you know, in the semifinals would be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So he'll be fun to watch out for. We'll check in on him. So what do you think? Djokovic top. He looks like he's probably a lock to get to at least the semis. Federer down there in the bottom struggled to get through his first round match against Mannarino.
Mm-hmm.
Mannarino slipped and fell. And then wasn't able to continue after the fourth set. So he won there.
Wet grass?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's something.
Slippery grass.
What's up with all that? All these falls?
What with a roof? You know, they've got a roof and there's slippery grass.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, grass is what, like 70% water?
Well, anyway.
And by itself. There's been a lot of falls.
You know what's interesting, though? I mean, you know, I see that and I go back years to Wimbledon when, you know, the rain would come. And, you know, I played, you know, one match back there early on where it took me 2-3 days to play one round.
Does it get raining?
Yeah, because of the rain. You get on, you play, you know, a set, you go off, you play 3 or 4 games, you go off again. Next thing you know, they're calling the matches, you go back. And that was before the roof, you know. And so if the grass is slippery now.
Yeah, but that's just that one or two courts, I guess.
Yeah,
but those are the ones that have been slipping.
Right.
Like Serena slips, has to retire.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
what's crazy. It's just lame that it's literally costing some of the best players chances. You know, like Federer's playing Mannarino. He's like lifing it. He's going to a fifth set at Wimbledon with Roger Federer, like the whatever 7 or 8 time champion. And he has to pull out because he slipped. And I mean, it looked brutal. Like what's that where you hyperextend the inside of your knee.
Oh, boy.
You know, like that. You can't do that.
Well, you know, in the old days, they used to be able to wear nubs.
Yeah.
Some of the players wore nubs and you know, which helped you a little bit from, you know, from not slipping, gave you a little bit better footing. I don't think they're allowing that now.
They don't allow. Because they tore up the, you know.
Well, they're going to bruise the court a little.
I don't want to bruise the court.
I mean, you know, what are you supposed to say? Are you supposed to just, you know, slip and slide, or you know, you're not wearing spikes.
Yeah.
You know, out there, like, but you know, it's interesting. You know,
well, what about?
I don't know about this grass though that they're playing on now.
It's
certainly
different, right?
It's different than what it was back when I was playing, and you know, how it plays is certainly different. The ball bounces higher, you know, and the speed of it is certainly a lot different. So, you know, I don't know.
What do you think it is? Like, I think a little bit of it too is that all these players come from playing on clay for 3 months, and they're sliding on every shot. Like sliding is such an integral part of like clay play, you know? And so, and then there's
Djokovic slides on hard courts.
They slide on everything. Right. And so on clay, there can be some moisture and you can still slide. That doesn't really hurt it. It just maybe slows down. Like the drier the clay, the probably better, right? You slide because it's kind of drier. You can skid across it more. But if there's moisture in it, it sucks, but it's not going to make you fall, trip, hyperextend a knee. But grass, it's already like, it's like a live substance, you know, it's alive. And then it's made out of whatever, 80% probably water, you know, like fruit and stuff and mushrooms and stuff. They're almost just all water. So it's already wet in itself, you know. So are they trying to slide thinking, hey, I've been sliding for the last 6 months since I played, or a year? Because actually they haven't played on grass in 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that too.
That's right.
So I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both. I think the nubs would probably help them. But do those just kill the court so much to where it's just, you know, divots, you know, missing out there because people are dragging their feet and scruffing and trying to slide with them?
Yeah, I you know, I guess they would tear up the behind the baseline.
Right.
You know, there's not much, you know, going on inside the baseline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, inside the service line. So, you know, they would tear up beyond the baseline. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting playing on grass. Yeah, you know, for me, it was always different movement. I moved different on hard courts as opposed to indoors, as opposed to clay, as opposed to grass. And so it was always, you know, get there. And you know, I played a tournament before and I had a week to, you know, to really
prep.
To prep and work on my game and so forth and my movement. So, you know, with the roof, I don't know how that works. And, you know, does it keep the humidity in, you know, is, you know, does it make
how does it affect it?
Yeah. How does that affect, you know, the ball, the way the ball, flies through the air? Is it faster? Is it slower? Mm-hmm. Does the ball bounce, you know, the way the ball bounces, does it make the grass slippery?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of,
it's tough. It's
tough.
Like a tough thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's different grass and yeah. And you don't know. But so what do you think? Fed's still in there. Joker's still in there. No Nadal kind of makes it a bummer. Murray made a little run. He lost to your guy, Shappie. Shappie kind of took care of business. Murray didn't have a lot left after the long five-setter in the previous round.
I got to hand it to him. I mean, he's had a hip replacement. Did he have a full hip replacement?
Yeah, I think so.
And
I mean, you got to talk on that. You've had three, really.
I've had three.
Three, so you only have two hips. How do you have three?
I've got three hips, folks. Don't worry. You know, no wonder I couldn't move.
Yeah, that's the secret that he moves so fast, really, three hips. But, yeah, he's had a full one, and he's still out there.
Yeah, I got to hand it to him. I mean, that's no easy task. I know how it was with me, and you know, I was... Yeah, I was after the first one. I was okay, but I wasn't. I couldn't have gone out and played at Wimbledon or a U.S. Open or anything. I couldn't have done that.
No.
And thank goodness I was older and I didn't. You know, wasn't expected to. But that to go through that because you know a slip or a slide or a trip or anything that that he does. You know, they're sliding on that grass and hurting themselves anyway. You know, forget about having a hip replacement. So I've got to hand it to him. I mean, he either wants to stay in there and play until you know he just can't walk, or there's something pushing him to do that because that's crazy. I don't know what to say about that.
It seems like he really loves the game. I mean, I think a little bit of it is probably, you know, this, like wanting to go out on his terms.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good point in playing Wimbledon.
Yeah, you know, being his favorite tournament,
being
probably.
British and, you know, giving it one more try in front of his fans there and going about it. But, man, that's
crazy.
Always got to be in the back of your mind somewhere that, you know, should I run for that one?
Yeah, like do you fully trust it?
Right.
You know, like going all out knowing that it's like this metal thing. You know what I mean? Like not you or whatever kind of thing, holding it all together.
They say it's stronger. You know, they say it's strong and, you know, it's like a knee replacement. You can't hurt it again.
Yeah.
You know. I saw that and I watched him and I saw the way, I mean, he's not moving bad.
No,
I mean,
he's moving pretty good.
Moving pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But I wonder how that affects his practice and the way he works.
The recovery too.
You know, recovery is right too. Yeah. Exactly.
I think a little bit of his, he loves tennis.
Yeah.
You see a lot of.
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I know everybody does, but like, I didn't know if he would be a guy that would like hang around tennis after. And it seemed like you see him on court, like giving guys, like coaching guys almost, like helping. I think it was like Sinner. He was like helping Sinner at one of the tournaments in a practice, like, you know, almost like giving him like tips. Hey, do this on your backhand and try this. And, you know, so I think he might end up becoming like a coach.
Well,
maybe or something someday.
Well, you know,
so that's kind of cool.
Britain.
Maybe Davis Cup coach for sure down the line.
They've got a lot of their guys that they take in to coach their juniors and they look after their past champions over there, you know. And nobody is in Britain is a past champion
more than
Murray.
Him. Yeah,
you know, he's won Wimbledon. He's
twice
won the U.S. Open. He won the Olympics
twice.
So he's got a good start on his legacy for that, and I'm sure they'll treat him accordingly.
Yeah, I know some people think like, oh, maybe he should retire. He's taking up a spot, but I mean, if he's making the third round of slams, like you just got to shut up. I mean, until he's tanking out first round and not looking good, like you know, he can do what he kind of wants. He's a champion. He's one of the best ever, one of the best of this generation, like
right
all that stuff. So I think that's kind of a lame
but you know how that goes better. You know, once you start sliding a little bit, you know, they're all looking to move beyond, you know.
Yeah, they can't wait to get rid of you, and then they miss you when you're gone.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, so what do you think about Fed? Like Fed, he's the let's look at the odds here for the men. We said Joker's -200. Medvedev has jumped up to the second favorite at +450, and then Fed at +850. Berrettini, who seems to be the pick, he won Queens. You know, he's looked good. You know, hasn't had like the toughest matches yet. Zverev 12-1, Rublev 20, Shapi 25, Felix 25, Agut 40, Khachanov 66, Korda down there 66, and it kind of goes down from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I let's see who's Federer playing the next round. Who's his
Sonego, the Italian kid?
Sonego, so that's his fourth round to play.
It would be, I think, to play Med.
Yeah,
it is to play Med.
Well, Medvedev just won a tournament on grass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he won Mallorca.
Mallorca, yeah. So,
but he's got a tough match against Hurkacz.
Yeah,
and Hurkacz has looked all right. He seems to have. He took a little sabbatical after he won Miami, which is understandable with a lot of the young players. Seems like if they have big success, they might enjoy it a little bit or take a little time to refocus, you know.
Go on the party circuit for a little while.
Yeah, and anyways, it was clay. It's not his best surface for that season. So he seems to be doing a little bit better. So that should be a fun match to watch. It's a lot of big serving and some big forehands. But what do you think? Anything else jumping out?
No.
Zverev under the radar a little bit. He's got Felix next.
I think that could be a good match. That'd be entertaining, I think.
Yeah.
And it's going to be... You know, some good shot making and you know, those two guys going at it. But Federer to play, if he gets to Medvedev, if they both make it to there, it could be an interesting battle.
I'd like Fed there.
Yeah.
I mean, Meds look good, but, you know, Meds still got to kind of prove it in non-U.S. Open slams.
Yeah, listen, Federer's Federer. You know, you gotta give him, you know, credit for, you know, any time he walks out there for his play, even if it's, you know, over the past 20 years, you know, the way he's played and to think that he still has the opportunity to reach that level. And so, I mean, I don't think you can ever count him out, you know, especially with Nadal. Didn't show up and you know he's I mean he doesn't have an easy draw. I mean
getting Medvedev in the quarters you know instead of a semi
right you know it's
he's not
used
easy.
To
that
and it's going to take its toll if he plays long matches and I mean you never know how that's going to affect him you know unless he just you know over you know can overcome it physically and mentally and you know certainly he's proven he can do that
But you do like this. Listen to the names that are in his bottom part of the draw. Berrettini, Vashka, Felix, Zverev, Sonego, Hurkacz, Med. What's the oldest guy? Like Medvedev at 25 or 6?
Yeah, it seems
so like, you know, everyone is young, but maybe not so experienced when, you know, once you start getting into the later rounds of a Grand Slam. So, I don't know. You know, it's tough to bet against him. You know, and he's got 2019 on his mind where he had the two match points against Joker to win at Wimbledon.
Right, yeah.
Where he got passed and then he's. I mean, those have been probably rattling
best
around his head
about
for 2 years.
That's what they put the net up for.
Yeah.
You know, we can sit here and talk.
It'd be great to see a rematch.
Yeah, wouldn't it, though? Yeah.
So they could, like, settle it almost.
Well, because they both have something to play for if they would make it. Fed to, you know, to... maybe go out winning Wimbledon.
Get to
21. And Joker, you know, to win the third leg of the Grand Slam.
And tie him at 20.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there's so much going on with all those storylines.
That's why it's tough for me to try to understand why Rafa didn't play.
You know,
whether he was hurt or what. There's got to be a good reason because of that.
Yeah.
You know, to have a chance to, you know, overtake or to...
Yeah,
you know,
to give up a swing. Even if it's his least favorite, it's still, you're still in it.
Right.
Like, your name's in the draw, which means you have a chance. You've won it twice, so you were in the semis three years ago.
That just kind of took me by surprise. So if he's injured, I hope he's okay because good, you know, certainly great for the game.
Yeah, I don't know there either because I thought, well, maybe it's injury because he's also missing the Olympics. But then he's already won a gold medal, so that kind of it's probably important to him, but not like it is to Fed and Joker who are trying to grab it because they don't have it for the resume.
Right.
So okay, so what do you think? Give me your final, knowing who we got left. Do you think it's Fed, Joker? Does Fed get there? Does Joker get upset? Is there a wild card in there?
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about the Queen's champion,
Berrettini.
Berrettini.
Oh.
I think he's got a little bit of something on the grass that could make things tough for a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's going to win it, but I'm thinking that, you know, if he goes in there and is not intimidated and brings his game, he's got a big game. He's a big guy.
His forehand's huge,
and his serve is no slouch.
Yeah,
either.
For
so
sure.
He's got a big game for a grass court,
and
I think he could create some havoc for a lot of guys. And and if he gets on a roll and has the confidence, and he does because he won Queens,
And he's looked good so far.
And he's looked good is right. So I want to say not that he's going to get through, but I think he's going to be a thorn in a couple guys' sides to get there. But I it's hard to bet against Djokovic. It is because he is on such a roll. But, Wimbledon, if you're talking about the French or the U.S. Open or whatever, I'd probably say okay, I like this one and this one, but Wimbledon is so hard to pick because it's just so many things can happen.
It's
like slipping on the grass. You know, so many things. It's always been a tough one for me. But you got to like Joker, you got to like Fed, but I like
Berrettini. So Joker and Berrettini is your final. If you had to put it.
If I had to put it, I want to go for that.
Okay, I like it. I mean, I think a lot of people think Berrettini's got a chance to do some damage. So it'll be he's 9-1 to win it all. If you like it out there, put a little money down. Okay.
I wish I gambled.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Let's move on to the last player we want to talk about.
I want to talk.
Who's not in the draw.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about him a little bit.
At least not anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Nick Kyrgios. Triumphant return, hasn't played since the Australian swing.
Mm-hmm.
Has been at home in Australia on social media, playing hoops, hanging out with his girlfriend, probably playing some tennis, but has not been on tour. Shows up, he's playing this week, mixed doubles and singles, playing mixed with Venus. They're still in the tournament. Wins his first round against Hugo Humbert, the French player who just won a grass court tournament a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Good player, top 20, something like that, 25 player. Went 5 sets. What are your thoughts? They stopped the match, by the way. They moved the match to the center court because another match ended early or something. The match is going to the 5th set. It's 2 or 3 all, and they call it because of curfew.
Mm.
Which is just such a bummer because you're like, well, you have lights now and you have a roof and you have this extra match that you moved and it's going 5 and it's going to be a dramatic ending and we'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, you got to spend all that money on a roof or something.
Hashtag rules.
Hashtag rules is right. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be tough for me to be playing today, Brett.
It
really would. I mean, as much as I'd love to be, you know,
it's just he is who he is at this point. I think, you know, like
I was talking about the rules.
Oh, the rules. You know, okay. Yeah.
I was talking about that.
That's annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that's why you put a roof on.
Yeah.
You know, so that matches I played matches against my good friend Drew Gitlin back at Wimbledon on court one. And we played the last 3 games in tiebreaker in the dark, you know, and you know, over there, it doesn't get dark until 10 o'clock anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I mean, well, crazy that,
I guess
that,
it is
that, like, that would happen.
Yeah. I guess you have to either follow the rules or not, but it's not like it was like, oh, it's 2 set that we just finished the 2nd set and it's 11, you know, we'll come back and finish the 3rd tomorrow. You're up 2 sets to love.
Right.
This was like, it's 5, it's 2 sets all. Like, I think I can't remember if it was 2 all. I think it was 3 all even. And they're like, oh, I mean, you know, because it could have gone on till I think they can play to 12 all and then they play this super breaker. Mm-hmm. Now, so it could have theoretically gone on for a while. But, you know, it's just brutal because it's like leaving a football game at the 2-minute warning and being like, well, like there's a curfew and we'll see you tomorrow for the rest of the 2-minute warning.
Well, they know what they're doing, supposedly.
Yeah.
You know, they've got it. So
either way, what are your thoughts on Kyrgios?
I thought he was a good talent and it's a shame to see that kind of talent wasted. You know, I know he hasn't played, you said he hasn't played since the Australian, and he's saying, listen, that's important too. Your life is important, you know, but if you're going to be a tennis pro and a successful one, you got to live it. You know, to show up just once in a while, I mean, you're going to have a couple good matches here and there, but if you're going to live up to your potential, and I always thought he had potential.
I mean, he does. I mean, yeah.
To be better, I was going to say, to be better than his results have shown, because I don't think he's gotten to, you know, quarterfinal or semifinal of a major ever.
Okay. He's gotten to 2 quarterfinals.
2 quarterfinals, yeah. Okay. So, you know, but that's, you know, for him, to me, that would not be satisfactory.
Yeah. Well, but, he said some stuff in press where, like, you know, he says something like, you know, Federer and Djokovic and Nadal, they're the gods, you know, and they're so great and they're legends and not everyone can be that, you know, and I'm just Nick Kyrgios. I'm not quoting it exactly, but, you know, I'm more of a normal person that the fans can relate to and all this stuff, you know, and it's like, yeah, but the fans, you know, you have sick talent.
Right.
You
but know, the fans also relate to somebody who's, you know, out there putting it all on the line and giving it their all and winning.
Yeah.
You know, that, but that's why he's saying that Federer and Nadal and Djokovic are the gods, because they do that, mm-hmm. you know, and to, you know, to have that kind of talent. And, you know, I mean, I saw him play a couple of years ago and you know, what he had to offer and the kind of game that he had and his attitude and, you know, a little bit crazy, which I liked, and, yeah. you know, added charisma, and he was a character, and, you know, all that to tennis, which, you know, I think tennis could use a little bit of.
For sure, a lot.
I mean, he could have really been.
I mean, he's not done.
No, I'm not saying he's done, but I mean, he could have really been.
Could have been the guy who took the baton from this generation.
Well, that's the best way. That's what I was trying to say.
Because look at his age. He's right. Like, what, 25 now. So if he would have, like, yeah. kind of, you know, you can't say what if, because if he's not doing it, he's not doing it.
No.
But, you know, it's just, it's a weird thing, because he parachutes in and he beats a top 25 guy kind of like half-assedly trying, almost joking around, you know, like he's not in the best shape probably that he could be. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a lot of match play. And he just took out a guy who won a grass court tournament and then pulled out of the next grass court tournament kind of with the idea in my mind that he was getting to Wimbledon early mm-hmm. to like think, hey, you know, I'm playing pretty good. I'm ready to get there and be, you know, ready to rock.
Right.
And so he beat a guy who's, you know, thinking that.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, what should that prove to him?
Yeah.
It should prove something to him that, you know, he's got it.
Yeah.
You
know, he definitely has it. I mean, he's like 2-0, I think, against Djokovic. He has wins over all the biggest guys. He can beat anybody on any given day. I mean, it's like we have the same conversation. He is this person, you know?
Yeah, but let's say he just wants to be, I'm Nick Kyrgios. I mean, that's fine. He doesn't want to be one of the top three guys. But, I mean, look at the other guys out there that he could be.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to be Djokovic. He could be Dominic Thiem, who has one Grand Slam.
One Grand Slam, right.
Just be that.
Right.
How many guys have one Grand Slam? Be Marin Cilic.
Yeah.
Or Juan Martín del Potro, you know?
That's not so bad either.
No.
To come off with, I mean, look at their legacy already.
Yeah.
You know, with just one slam, you know, and still being able to go out there and to work and to try to grab another one somewhere along the line.
Well, look what people have done who have won just one slam and then use that as like the thing the rest of their career. Now imagine if he did it with all the other stuff he brings. With the charisma and the personality and the humor and the bad boyness and the like kind of anti-establishment stuff. That's what I just am bummed, because we don't get to see him as much.
Yeah, I get it. He brings something to the event that he plays.
He brings all the intangible shit where everyone's like, well, what is it? Like, how do you do it? Where do you get a player who you can promote and sell and all these things?
Right.
It's like this guy.
He should be on the front of every cover.
Yeah.
Of every tournament magazine.
Yeah.
To me, because of that. Not that the other guy shouldn't, don't get me wrong, but I mean, he brings that something extra.
For sure.
You know, beyond the other guys bring the play and the tennis. If he would bring the tennis, he's got the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which, like we said, you know, tennis could use a little bit of that, I think.
For sure. You know, and he's, like, you know, personable, and he's great with the press, and he's funny, and, you know, it's just, I enjoy watching him play and seeing the shit that he stirs up.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's parts of tennis, you know, oh, I don't like that, and, you know, where the umps, hey, try, Nick, you should be trying, you know, hey, maybe it's my tactic, mate. That's what he said, maybe it's my tactic, you know. I kind of like that there's somebody.
He's got an answer for everything.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, you like that there's somebody like that. Either, you know, even if you don't agree with what he's saying in the moment, you like that at least he's saying something.
Yeah.
Because so many people are the same cliche, like, ugh, you can almost play like a recording, or you can almost try and predict what 90% of the guys on tour are going to say, and you'll probably be pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're playing it safe and smart, and a lot of them don't, it's maybe English is their second language or whatever, so they're like, you know, just doing the basics.
Right.
You know, so when you get someone like him who's willing to just say what he actually thinks about a range of topics, it's refreshing.
Well, maybe he'll look back at this Wimbledon and say, hey, that wasn't so bad. I really like that again.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he just kind of gets back on tour.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, maybe not every week player, but every, you know, he's playing 30 weeks a year, 25 weeks a year or whatever it is. You know, he's playing the slams. And
yeah, but you know what, though, Brett, like I said earlier, life happens, you know, and you know, when you, this has to be, if you want to be at the top, this is a 365-day-a-year job. if you want to be the best and at the top and to, you know, to reap all the benefits from that. Yeah, but he should, I'm not giving anybody any advice. It's not my place to, but you know, he should look back and say, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, you know, and you know, either jump in or just stick your toe in, you know, but then play it accordingly. You know, don't be worrying about the other guys. You know, you just, you know, that's the way I always felt. Listen, you guys do what you want. Just worry about yourself and
do you think
be happy trying to play the best tennis you can when you play. Maybe that's the best thing to say.
Do you think any of it, because I feel like we come to this a lot with him where he always is, I don't know how to say it, but like kind of almost, you know, it doesn't matter to me, or, you know, kind of aloof and, you know, it, whatever, you know, I'm not them, I'm this. And do you think it almost seems like, is it like a little bit of fear of failure? You know, where he's like always trying to set it up to
protection.
Like, yeah, like he's always protect, like the way he phrases stuff, you know, I don't know. It just feels like, I'm not dogging it. I mean, people do it, or even like fear of success.
I think that's the other one.
In a way.
I think that might be.
As long as he keeps doing this.
The other way.
Because, like, look, he almost talks himself out of tournaments and, oh, I'm not really in shape. Or, you know, like he slipped and fell, you know. And then he had to quit after the second set against Felix, which would have been a great. That was at least going to go four. How much fun would that match have been watched when it came down to it? You know, and I don't know. It's a weird thing because, you know, he's had expectations and all this stuff. And to hear so many people be like, wow, you have so much talent, you know, you have so much, you know, like you almost feel like, does that make you feel like, oh shit, I'm letting him down, or I'm not living up to him, or, and so like I need to soften this blow to myself, I don't know.
Some guys thrive on that and others don't, you know, and that's not a knock, you know, on either side.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, how you want to play it you know, whether, you know, that gives you that little extra push, or, you know, to try to do whatever you can to please them or please yourself or to be number one or whatever. I mean, it's all, listen, your own, you got to look inside your own self, you know, to understand this and to know, you know, how you're letting things affect you, you know, and how I handled things wasn't the way Nastasi handled things, or Borg handled things, or Gonzalez handled things, or Laver handled. I mean, everybody has their own way to deal with things, right? And you know, it's
what about this? My last point on it. Do you think it's different because, like, when you came up, there was hardly any money in the game. You know, it had just become open, so money started to just finally become into it, and the TV as you went along more and more. So, like, you had to be almost like sharpened in a different way, like where Kyrgios is able to make like a great living parachuting in once in a while and playing a tournament. You know, like he doesn't have to keep playing a bunch of tournaments the rest of the year to have contracts and to sign deals. Like I think he's hosting or doing something on like an Australian TV show. I mean, like whatever, that's whatever. But I'm just saying, like his personality and the way the world is with so much money in and around sports, you know, he's able to kind of just not have to stay super focused on just tennis to make a great living off of tennis.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, going back, I've said it many times. I mean, we were fighting for three or four lines on the front page, you know, against the greatest athletes of our time, you know, Wayne Gretzky, Joe Montana, Muhammad Ali, you know, Pete Rose. I mean, you go down the list and, you know, we're fighting for a line next to them because, you know, trying to get tennis there. Yeah. So, I mean, playing occasionally, if you were at the top or one of the best, you know, wouldn't have fit in. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have done it. You know, we had to, you know, you're right. We were pushing for the money. I came up with nothing. I was trying to make a living so that I could take care of my family and all that. But you're right with the way money is in sports today. It's crazy, you know, but crazy good.
Yeah.
You know, my generation and the generations before me and even the ones after me to get to this point really worked for it is to bring all this
opportunity,
sponsorship, you know, corporation business and everything into the game. And you know, to be able to do that, And to have that opportunity that he has, not being the best, you know, back in my day, that one, you know, if you weren't the best, you weren't getting anything, you know, really. So, I mean, what, you know, you're right. It's an opportunity for a lot of guys to do many things outside of what the actual job really is, which is, you know, winning tennis matches.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, he probably, you know, he's into video games and stuff. So there's Twitch, which is like a streaming service where you can watch other people play. Like, you know, he could maybe make money on that. Like, he makes money probably on all these weird other things outside of tennis, but at the root of it is, like, tennis. Like, what made him this guy that other people want is tennis.
Right. Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Yeah, so I can't remember what else I was going to say. I was going to say something.
That's enough of that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about the ladies for,
for
a
minute up.
Real quick, because Serena, out.
Out, slipped, fell.
Hurt.
Bummer.
Yep.
That was kind of lame.
And so... Who's left? I mean, I see...
Oh, I remember what I wanted to say about Kyrgios.
Okay.
Real quick. He loves basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Loves Jordan, loves Garnett, loves all that shit. What happens if those guys only played, like, once in a while? You know? What happens if they only, like, showed up once in a while, really brought it for two out of the five, seven-game series, and then, you know, bounced out? So, like his style... When you, like, put it on all the people he probably likes and looks up to, none of them do it. You know, like, Bird didn't only show up, and Magic, and whoever he likes. Like, you know, Ray Allen and Garnett. I know he likes the Celtics a lot. And Jason Tatum doesn't, like, only kind of practice 2 months a year. You know? And I know he says that's just him and stuff, and he's his own thing and all this stuff. But he wouldn't be a Bird fan if Bird had done that.
That's a good point.
And that's just what I wonder, like, is it something, like, later on he'll regret? Or, you know, I mean, he's got so much money, I know, and he does his thing, and he has all this shit, and he has all these fans, and I'm an idiot for dogging him and all that stuff.
You're not dogging him, but I know,
fans will say all that stuff, which is okay. Know. I'm just saying, like...
Listen, you can't please everybody.
No, I know. But that's the part where I'm like, all the people you like, Garnett. Like, Garnett did three-a-days.
Right.
Versus, like, I'm just gonna try once in a while, mate. Like,
listen, it's a valid point, Brad. I mean, you know, we're just trying to, you know, talk both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, we're not dogging him because we like him.
Yeah.
We like he play. I wish he'd play more.
For sure.
You know, to be honest with you, because of what he brings to it. But you know, you can't force anybody into doing it. If it's not in your heart and you don't want to go out and break your back to do it. You can't force somebody to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun watching him this week, and it'd be cool if him and Venus win the mixed or something. But I hope he plays the rest of summer. But okay, move on. Women, Barty, top of the draw, looks good. Seems like this would be her chance, right?
Yeah, you know, she says her favorite surface grass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be with the way she plays. She's got variety. She's got a good slice backhand, you know, and to put her out on the
good
the,
volleys.
Good volleys. So you'd think that her success at Wimbledon should be at the top of the list. But you know, her best results, what, a fourth round?
She's matched it.
Yeah, but does that help her with, I know there's a couple Americans still in there. I think Coco Gauff is still
Coco,
in.
Coco, yeah.
And Madison Keys is still in. So, shouldn't this be the time for Barty to really prove that why she likes grass, you know, with Serena out and
her draw has kind of opened up a little bit. I mean, it seems like it's her opportunity to, just because everyone thinks, I mean, her game fits grass before it fit clay. And then she goes and wins the French. And then, you know, they didn't play last year, so you don't know. And so this seems like, if she can take advantage of her, you know, starting the fourth round, so she's already playing good. But she plays Krejcikova now, who just won the French.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to still think Barty's a good favorite there. I think she could do it. The other player who I'd just look out for, she has a tough match tomorrow, is Ons Jabeur. Won her first tournament ever on grass a couple weeks ago. She's a Tunisian player, right? And she's got actually some variety. She has a good slice backhand and a pretty good serve and kind of can mix it up. She plays Swiatek, French Open winner from last year.
Mm-hmm.
All these French Open winners.
coming to Wimbledon, from the French to Wimbledon on the grass. It's good.
Yeah, but the women's draw, it's actually setting up to be good because, I mean, Sabalenka, the two seed down there, she's a thumper. I mean, she hits the big serve, huge forehand. She goes for the line. She doesn't leave anything out there. So we'll see. What do you think? We got the odds here. Barty plus 300, favorite. Sabalenka, like we said, she's the other, plus 450. Swiatek plus 550. Goff, the fourth favorite at 8-1. She gets, let's see, who does she get? She gets Kerber next, former Wimbledon champion.
Yeah.
That should be interesting. Then you get Mukhova, 12-1. Kerber's 12-1. Samsonova, 14-1. Jabeur, 14-1. I might have to put a fiver on it.
Oh, boy. There you go.
I kind of like rooting for her. I like her.
I was just thinking that you like her. But there's four women in the draw now that have won Grand Slams, right?
Correct.
That are left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an opportunity for them to get another slam. But what about the ones that don't have a slam? Now, what a great opportunity for them also.
Right.
You know, to come through.
So what do you think? Who would you rather? What do you think?
Well,
you'd probably rather have the experience.
Yeah, of course. To go out and especially on the center court or court one where the crowd makes a difference and the tradition and the noise and, you know, and things like that. But you know, like I said, you know, Wimbledon, so many things can happen there. That you're not prepared for. I know it's, some things happened to me a few times. You know, there's no doubt.
Like what?
Well, I mean, you know, you get on a court where you don't feel comfortable. Like I played on court two a number of times. I think they liked putting me out there because they knew that, you know, so they put me out on court two. And
well, with grass, it seems that each court is actually like unique. We're like all the hard courts for the most part are probably the same,
Know,
like maybe a little with a bounce spot here or there, but like, and then clay for the most part, it's the same because you're throwing clay over the top and you're sliding on top. But with the grass, it's this live substance and, you know, every grass, the mounds, you don't know how
they try to make it as close to, you know,
but could you tell on like court two when you went out that like, well, this is whack compared to the center court two days ago, or whatever.
Yeah. The center court and court one, they were different back in my day, you know? So if you go out into the field, you know, then you come inside as you're playing on something totally different back then. But now, you know, with the roof, you know, you got the guys who are playing on the center court in court one. They get used to that, you know, and they understand. They see the bounces and they see the way the ball reacts and so forth. You know, and they're not rounds behind. You know, they keep up with the schedule. So here's my take on that. I think Barty has the chance now to prove herself as the next. You know, with Serena
kind of dominant number one.
Yes, I do. If she takes advantage of this, you know, with Serena being hurt this event and listen, she's got life. You know, life happens. She's got a baby and
she's almost 40.
Almost 40 and so forth. And Naomi Osaka, you know, taking some time away and trying to get her life sorted out and so forth. So she has a chance to really push forward and to be the number one dominant if she comes through here. I think if she would prove this to herself after saying that, you know, she likes grass the most, if she would do that now, I think that, you know, she would ascend in a hurry.
Yeah, I think her getting a second slam would be big.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, these are the two slams she needs to, not needs to, but should, you know, gang up on. Because, like you said, the other player on the women's side is probably, quote unquote, dominant would be like Osaka. And Osaka likes them hard courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's proven that.
Yeah. So once we go from clay, which Barty likes, we know, with an RG to her name, and grass, which she says she likes and has a good chance here to make a deep run, then we switch back to the hard courts, and that's Osaka time. So, like, these are the kind of goes from her kind of slams to then Osaka's kind of slams. But Barty's good on hard court, too.
Yep.
I think she could win the Open and you know, hopefully Australia. That'd be kind of cool for her to make a run there. But I think you're right. I think she's got a shot to kind of solidify herself, and I like her a lot. She's likable, she's cool, like laid back, really chill, like a really good golfer.
Oh boy.
Like I think she won her like club championship over the COVID, you know. She's like close to a, you know, two, three handicap or something. Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, and then Coco.
Think she'd play 18 with us?
She'd have to give me some strokes.
Me too.
Just a few aside. But I give her a game if she gives me some strokes.
Yeah.
Call me, Ash. Now, golf, what do you think about that? I mean, what would happen if she won this thing?
Well, I mean, that would be tremendous. I mean, somebody young from the United States and yeah. to come up into
only 17.
But she's been around
third for year now.
A couple years
yeah,
already.
Yeah, making a decent run at Wimbledon. And oh, she didn't play last year, so that's true.
Yeah, but it's an opportunity, you know, to there are certain times in your career when opportunities just just blow in your face. Mm-hmm. And I think this is, you know, and I said, which ones are the slam winners going to win? Outside of Barty, I don't think there's any other clear favorite.
Yeah. Sabalenka looks good, but she hasn't proven it in slams yet.
Well, you know, what a great chance for her.
Yeah.
You know, but even Keys.
Yeah.
She's got a big game. She hits a heavy ball. I've seen her play, you know, over the course of the years. And if she, you know, if she kind of keeps her mind straight and I mean, obviously she's playing pretty good tennis. Yeah. She's in the, you know, fourth round.
There's a lot of people who can take advantage.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, but I think you're right where there's these times in every sport where there's dominant times. There's times where there's someone like Serena who's always the favorite and always like gobbling up slams. And then there's these like in between times, like before Fed, when there were like a lot of guys were winning slams for the men. You mm-hmm. know, like there's these kind of floaty round times where like, hey, anybody is winning slams. Lots of guys are winning. And then boom, Fed comes, Nadal comes, Djokovic, and nobody's right. winning slams right. for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Or like the San Francisco Niners win like 3 out of 5. Or like the Lakers. You know, like these mm-hmm. dynasties come. And then there's time, if there's not a dominant person. So like this is a good time for a Barty, you know, even like a Muguruza, Sabalenka, you know, these mm-hmm. players who are the top 5 or 6, 7 players. But aren't kind of grabbing their opportunities by the handful yet.
Right.
So if Barty can win here, then I think you're right. Like it's her and Osaka, and it's kind of her right now because she just came off a slam.
Right. Well, that's why Wimbledon is so interesting at times because, like I said, so many things can happen. So many crazy things can happen. And it's just who, you know, somebody out there has got to keep their wits about them when everybody else around them is losing theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the crowd's going crazy or your opponent's playing a little, you know, over the top and how to stay in there and how to fight that off. And,
yeah.
You know, how do you keep your wits about you? Yeah. And continue to, grind and stay in there and work to the final goal, which is winning the tournament. Listen, it doesn't always work out. You know, getting your ass kicked is, you know, it just happens.
It happens.
Part of the game. Yeah. It's part of the game. But, you know, it's walking off there and knowing that you did everything you can or everything you could to prepare for it and to give it your all every time. That's all, you know, I got to say.
Okay. Well, sounds like you like Barty. Quick. I like Barty and Jabeur in the bottom. Last quick story, and then we'll wrap it up. Because I know you're a THC gummy connoisseur with your 2.5 milligram gummies.
Yep, I was. I've been good.
I want to get your take on this story before
okay.
we quit.
I'm listening.
Let her all go. Right. American sprinting star Sha'Carri Richardson tested positive for marijuana. She's going to supposed to go to the Olympics. Had qualified to go to the Olympics. Is right. one of the best on the team. Tested positive for marijuana, and now is not going to be allowed to compete in the Olympics. Won't go to Tokyo. She came clean, admitted wrongdoing, took full responsibility. Blah blah blah. I think the story was her mom had been going through some sickness, or I don't know what had happened there. And I think maybe to cope with it, she maybe smoked a little marijuana. What are your thoughts? I mean, it's legal. It's starting to become way more culturally accepted and legalized in the U.S. Doesn't mean it is in every other country.
Right.
A rule is a rule.
Yeah.
As a lot of people on Twitter have said to me when I ask some questions. Okay,
yeah.
That's true. What do you think? Do you think the rule needs to be changed? It's not exactly a performance, quote-unquote, enhancing.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, it's not going to help your performance one way or the other, is it? It's more of a calming... I'm not astute enough to know, you know, the effects, the ups and downs of it. And even though I am in the business,
in the gummy connoisseur business.
Yeah. And, when I'm not playing, I use it for other reasons.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, look, I mean, it's becoming so accepted. You know, a lot of people, I mean, we've just
legal in the state we're in.
Yes.
California.
Right. You know, we've talked about this a lot, Brett, and you know, there are people spending, you know,
years, decades.
Decades in jail.
Yeah.
You know, for a joint or... Yeah.
Or under an ounce or
under
something.
Under an ounce, yeah. Right. And, you know, and now with it becoming legal, how is that going to be handled too then? You know, you got to look at that too. But, I mean, yeah, I think that that's, you know, you're right. Rules are rules. And she admitted it. And she was going through a time, if it was, you know, with her family and so forth. You got to look at that too. But, you know, with the way things are changing... You know, in every state, with the legalization and the way it's being
the medical uses
you know. And everything. I mean, yeah. It's just not, you know, that is not a drug now like it was in the 60s.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, it was so demonized with like Reefer Madness and like, you know, right. Those propaganda kind of films demonizing it and Hearst, how he, you know, ran the campaign in his newspapers, you know, kind of demonizing it because he looked at it as a competitor to like hemp or, you know, whatever it was, the paper, you know, he thought it was going to be a competitor. So he was, you know, so there's like this whack history on it instead of just studying it. They weren't even allowed to study it because it was a class, whatever it is, two narcotic, class one narcotic. So that can't even be studied. Like, think of the stupidity of that where you're like, wait, we're studying fucking bat viruses. Right. We're trying to make them stronger.
Right.
And like in other countries where we don't even pay attention to it, but we can't study marijuana's effects if there's anything good about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think eventually, you know, that rule will be changed and at least they're going to have to look at it. And with the understanding that it'll help it, you know, I mean, this is my opinion. I've taken it because of, you know, because I just basically beat myself up for 55 years of my life and
don't want to take painkillers and all that kind of
shit. No, I don't, yeah. You know, and so, you know, I'm not a connoisseur on it, like I said, but I know that I've gotten into it and it's helped me. You know, now, so how it helps everybody is going to be different and how much you take is going to be different and how you go about that. But I think that that's going to be something that will be looked at and hopefully, but the Olympics are so different, Brett, because I mean, that's taking her chance away and she doesn't have a chance now for another 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, luckily three, because they
well,
don't,
that's true. Right.
But still, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
they should use this as a chance to change the rule.
Right.
They should like call it the Sha'Carri Richardson rule or something.
Look into it, yeah. You know, and understand what's going on, you know, around this country for sure. And also around the world with it. I mean, it's a totally different thing now.
Yeah.
I kind of feel for her.
For sure.
And
she seems like a nice person.
Yeah, what she's going through. And
to like train so hard. And this is your thing, kind of. You know, like you don't have a league that you go back to, like the NBA and baseball and golf and all these other sports. This is like your thing, you know, like you train all the other events and stuff throughout the years to get to this.
So, I mean, there we are. I mean, the
weird
the
part.
Sports, the way sports are now, I mean, sports have become such big business in everything, you know, every individual sports, team sports, the Olympics. I mean,
well, college players now being able to get paid.
I was just going to say that, you know, geez, I might have to go back and go to school.
I know.
At UCLA.
Right? You could have probably charged some pretty good prices.
Made $100 for cleaning the courts and happy to get it back in the day. But
gambling money.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's what's weird is I think the weird part is like, I think if she, let's say, was on opioids for pain or was like somebody who was prescribed like Adderall, you know, because she had been on it her whole life because when she was a kid, she was diagnosed with ADD, blah, blah, blah. That's like okay.
Mm.
I think because like, you know, I remember when tennis players go to the Olympics, they give them like a list of medications they're on. Like beforehand, they're like, hey, I take Adderall and I take a whatever opioid for my pain. And so like, they're like, okay, you know, so you can be on like opioids and essentially synthetic speed, which is what Adderall and Ritalin and a lot of those drugs are. but you can't smoke weed a month ago?
Right.
And they're going to be currently on those drugs during the competition.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the rules of the
No, Olympic. I don't either, but it just but it seems flawed.
Yeah, just you know, like I said, maybe the best thing is for him to, you know, to revisit, you know, the rule and you know, understand, you know, what the, you know, the reasons behind it. But, you know, I'm going to go back, like you said, you know, rules are rules, yeah. You know, and if that's the price he has to pay for breaking the rules, it's a shame.
Yeah, it sucks. It'd be cool if she came back in whatever it is, 2024 and won the gold and kind of shoved it in everyone's face. But, well, we're going to do a short one, but because you're trying to add to this crazy day you've had, we went almost an hour. So
that's okay. I'm gonna crawl back and get horizontal. I'm tired.
Right. That sounds good. Stay tuned. We have a fresh Connor's Kitchen for release.
Oh boy!
You can follow us on Twitter at @ADVConnors, on Instagram at @AdvantageConnors, Jimmy at @JimmyConnors, me at @Brett_Connors. We have a YouTube channel, Advantage Connors. That's a lot.
Yeah,
anything else?
There. Facebook.
Facebook, Jimmy
yeah,
Connors. Hit us up.
Yeah.
With questions, ideas for topics, or subjects to talk about on the show. This was just a little Middle Sunday Wimbledon kind of update. Yeah, that's it. Any final words?
Nope. Good being with you. Yeah. Happy 4th of July
to everybody. Happy 4th of July out there.
Yep. And, you know, be careful, be safe, watch the fireworks.
And watch Connor's Kitchen.
And we'll see you next time.
Talk to you soon. Peace.